Psalm 107. Let's go there. Psalm 107. As soon as you got it, say, I got it. Look at someone who doesn't have it, say, they need it. It says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for your goods. Does it say that in your Bible? Oh, that men would praise the Lord for your goods. No. It says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for what he does for you. Does it say that? No, it says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Everybody say that men would praise the Lord. Now notice also that it says here, sacrifices of thanksgiving. You ever heard that song? We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. Any old charismatics know that one? We bring the sacrifice of praise, you know that one? Into the house of the Lord. They're singing, still singing that one in Wisconsin. And they offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving. Everybody say sacrifices.
Sacrifices
of thanksgiving. There are sacrifices of praise and there are sacrifices of thanksgiving. That means there are times when thanksgiving and praise should cost us something. Right here, when he was saying, oh, that men would praise the Lord, he was saying, look, come on and get in there and praise God with me. And you know what? Let's praise him. Let's kill something. So you bring a couple lambs or you bring a sacrifice and we're going to praise God and cut something up. How would you like that we were still worshiping God like that today? You brought you in, you know, and say, everybody come, we're just going to have a worship and praise service. Everybody bring a dog, bring a cat, and we're going to sacrifice it right here. So I say, praise,
praise.
Cost. Everybody say sacrifices of thanksgiving. People think it's really weird. You know, we want to leave out so many things from our worship experience. Today, worship is only accustomed to our culture. That's a fake. Amen. Praise is only accustomed. You know, it's only the song service. You know, praise started with Hosanna Integrity Music. Praise started with Ron Canole told us about it. No, praise has been going on for a real long time. Amen. Praise God with everything. It said, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with a solemn song. Oh, y'all are quiet in here today. You know, we need to get a new Bible. It says, and declare his works with, everybody say rejoicing.
Rejoicing.
Everybody say rejoicing.
Rejoicing.
Now, I tell you what, if we get that mindset, you know, me and this dude probably got along really good. You know, he was probably just griping one day and he got to say, listen, I just wish people would praise God because he's just good, for his goodness, not based on anything else other than God's goodness, and let them sacrifice, amen, with thanksgiving. Everybody say praise the Lord. Go to Psalm 150, verse 1. You know that's why you get to go to heaven to praise God? You know that's why you were created to praise God? You're just going to join a choir someplace. Amen. It says we were created to give him praise. Amen. That we might worship God, that we might love God. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Look at somebody and say, find a place to praise. You know that when the children of Israel were in bondage, they asked them, hey, why don't y'all play us some of those praise songs that y'all do? You know those songs you usually do. Y'all know how y'all do that thing. We go to one church and they get up there and they say, you know how you just get on the keyboard, you do that thing. Get on up there and do that thing. And they say, look, how can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? They said, look, you just can't sing the praise. I said, look, we can't sing the praise of God in any kind of atmosphere. So we're going to say, praise the Lord. They said that they might praise him in the firmament of his power. There are realms to God. There are realms to the move of the Spirit and the grace of God. And I know what I'm talking about when I tell you that. Amen? There's one place, someplace you can go, it's just about as dead as all. I mean, you feel like you're in a funeral home someplace. You couldn't get, I mean, you just shoot a note off the wall, it bounces right back at you. But there are places with people that are alive in the Spirit. Amen? Amen. People that realize how good God is. Amen. How great God is, the great things he's done. Amen? The Bible says he inhabits the praises of his people. So they say, praise the Lord. Well, what is the firmament of his power? The places where people get in contact with God. Amen. So praise him in the firmament of his power. Glory to God. Praise him in his sanctuary. Some say his sanctuary. Say it one more time. His sanctuary. Church is very important. Did you know that? We have a covenant. And when it says to praise him in his sanctuary, this is a sanctuary. It's not just this building. A sanctuary is a place where God abides. Amen. A place where the Holy Spirit feels comfortable. They say one thing about the Holy Spirit, he's very, very sensitive. Amen. That's why they liken him to the dove. You know, old raven that they put out there out of the Ark of the Covenant when the raven went out there, that raven, you know, that raven didn't come back. Why didn't the raven come back into the ark when Moses sent it out of there? That raven didn't come back because it would land anywhere. Chances are there was some old dead, rotten flesh floating on the water someplace. It could land anywhere. That's why the thing didn't come back. But they sent out that dove. Amen, that dove. Amen, that dove flew right on back in. Why? It could not find a place to land. God, somebody say hallelujah. There is something about the Holy Spirit. And it's more than just a theology in the back of your head. Amen. God is alive and well. It's just a relationship. It said that we should praise him, praise God in his sanctuary. And you break up that word sanctuary, it's basically, when you tear it up, it's not just talking about a building. Somebody say saint or hallowed thing or hallowed place or sanctified place or separated place. You know, we think we could just put a couple bricks on top of each other, amen, and put on the robe. Lay down some carpet and stick a cross on the wall. Put a little white sign out in front of it. Organ in the corner. Round up whoever will come and throw a choir robe on them. We call that place a sanctuary. But we're to praise God. Amen. Zion's calling us to a higher place of praise. We need to set ourselves apart, that we might give God a clear and distinct sound. Amen? Praise him in his sanctuary. How do you praise God in his sanctuary? You got to praise him in the right spirit. Amen? It's more than just a worship service. You know, I was getting there. You know, God wants to get us to the point. You know, when I felt prophetically, we believe in prophecy, and I really been hearing the Spirit of God saying, praise me. Just worship me. I come out at Christ for the Nation, and that's probably the worship seat, you know? Travel with Living Praise. I mean, that was the first worship and praise group, you know, that started these little worship choruses and stuff like that they had out there. Went all over the place, teaching people to worship God, to sing those songs and stuff. But I've never had more of a passion to praise God than this last probably 2 or 3 weeks. Why do I have a passion to praise God? because I figured out how good he is? No, I don't have that revelation yet. Maybe you do. I don't. He's good. He's wonderful. But it doesn't make me want to sing right now. Amen? I'll get there one day. Amen? He's holy. But there's one reason that I truly want to praise God with everything. There's nothing more important in the beginning of the day or the end of the day. When we do this, you know, church, we do all this other stuff. We get up here and do this stuff. There's only one reason I choose to praise God, you know, because I believe He's called me to praise Him. Just because He asked. So I say hallelujah. I want to worship Him because He asked. Because that's what He desires. So in order to worship Him because He, amen, somebody say, come on up to a place of worship. I've got to, somebody say, praise God in His sanctuary. That means we got to clean some stuff up and clean some stuff out, you know? He said, look, I'll tear that temple up and build it back up again in 3 days. I'll tear it up and build it back. And they thought He was talking about that literal building, that temple. He wasn't. That temple, that hallowed place, amen, is our own heart. It's our own spirit. It's our own atmosphere. Amen? So when they're really talking about praise Him in His sanctuary, now we could take it one way and say, oh, get to Jerusalem and praise Him. You know, but you know, Jesus is the same yesterday and forever. It was He that motivated David to write the songs, wasn't it? If it prophesied, it was really His heart. He was right there in it. You know, when that woman was at the well, she asked Him this question. She said, Lord, which mountain shall we pray in or shall we worship in? Some say we have to worship over here. Some say we have to pray over here. The same thing. Prayer and worship go hand in hand. He said, the day is coming. Listen, when true worshipers, somebody say true. Will worship God in spirit. Somebody say in spirit. Say it one more time. In spirit. That means inspirited. We're in the play on the inside. Amen. On the inside, that secret place. Somebody say, go to your secret place on the inside, your own heart. Sing into yourselves in songs, hymns, and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart unto the Lord. But true worshipers will worship Him in spirit and in truth. Then God says right here, we can take it back. You know, the Old Testament is just a foreshadow of this testament that we're, this covenant that we're living in right now. We got a better one. Somebody say, hallelujah. Praise God in His sanctuary. Is there a sanctuary for God inside your own heart? That song we used to sing, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living. You ever heard that song? Sanctuary for you. That should be our quest. That should be our heart. It's God just getting us to the point where we get beyond all the other stuff, all the fluff, to where there's nothing more you want to accomplish in your life than loving God, than serving God, and praising God. Amen. Sanctuary is a dedicated place. It's a dedicated place. Place that's dedicated for God. Amen. When you dedicate something, that means it takes precedence. You know, we have different computers. We got about 12 computers. I don't know how many. I don't know. We got a lot of computers. I don't know if it's 12 anymore. Amen. Rex just blew them all up. And no, I'm joking. We got computers, but most of the computers around the building are dedicated for certain things. You know, I got a computer. I got two in my office. Amen. We got two up here, a couple back there. And each one of these computers are set to do something. I'm going to say dedicated. That means that takes priority. That thing is meant to give me chords so I can know what chord to play sometime. Or we got that computer back there that records the messages and gives you stuff up here. It's dedicated for that. It's not dedicated for solitary. Amen. When something's dedicated, amen, when we're dedicated to God, He comes first. Nothing more important than praise. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we're to praise him in his sanctuary. Our heart is his sanctuary. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. Amen. Praise him in the firmament of his power. So many times we're afraid to get close to the power of God, aren't we? We get confused and say, oh, that emotionalism or whatever else it is. I tell you what, there is power. Hallelujah. Anything that has the ability to change anything is powerful, isn't it? We turn off that light switch, amen, we can turn it off, and then we turn the current back on, that thing lights up. That means it does something that it wasn't doing before because something affected it. Only things of power have the ability to change or affect anything. So praise God to the point to where it starts to affect your life. So often we just want to get to the thing, don't, you know, we just sing the songs, warm the people up. I mean, that's all song services are in most churches. Warm the people up, just get through it or whatever it is. But as soon as it gets a little bit out there, a little bit, maybe someone will crack a tear out of their eye. You know, we watch a good movie, you know, and all of a sudden a tear runs down our face. We don't think anything of it, but you let somebody crack a tear in church or lift a hand or crack a smile. We're in trouble. Praise him to the point to where you feel the power of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We love you, God, with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind. Amen. Don't draw back. Praise him for his mighty acts. Do you have that in there? It says, praise him according. Somebody say, according. Boy, we got a lot of work to do. We've got a lot of work to do. What does according mean? In proportion to, right? Praise him according or in proportion to his excellent greatness. Or praise him for his excellent greatness. I tell you what, when we really get into praise, that excellent greatness, somebody say excellent greatness. We're supposed to know who he is so we can praise him for it. When you come to church, many people come to church with a need, with a situation. If I can just get a prayer through, I need some help, whatever it is, that's all right. But it starts in the place of praise. And basically what he's saying, praise him according to his excellence. Somebody say excellent. That means his size. His abundance. His ability to be increased. His ability to increase. He's just talking about stoutness. His measure. That means you better realize how big God is when you start to praise him. Praise him because he's big. So say, he's El Shaddai. Everybody said, he is El Shaddai.
He is El Shaddai.
The God that is more than enough. So when you're praising God, you got to have revelation of the God that you're praising. So when it says to praise him for his mighty acts, don't you get up there. See, many people think, well, I'm just praising. All we can praise him for is Jesus on the cross. Thank God for that. Meek and lowly Jesus. Many of us have the mentality. Hallelujah. Nothing wrong with that. But you got to realize who God is today. He's still meek and lowly. Amen. But he is an almighty God who can handle anything. Amen.
Amen.
Who can do anything, whatever situation you're dealing with. He's got more than enough to take care of it. And you have to praise him for it. I'm going to say El Shaddai, the God that is more than enough. Hey, I don't have enough right now, but I'm going to go praise the God that's more than enough. What you praise Him for, He will manifest Himself to be that in your life. It says, praise Him with the sound of trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and the dance. Praise Him with string instruments and organs. Praise Him with, I love this word, loud. Well, turn up. It just got hot in here again. Crystal, help me. Please. Hallelujah. Now, there are times in the Bible where it says, play skillfully unto the Lord. Amen. But more times than enough, it just says loud. Somebody say loud. Sing aloud unto God. Whenever we're excited about something, we shout it from the housetops. We scream it. I got scriptural proof. Somebody say, why is it so loud? That's the way He wants it. In Psalm 150, it didn't say, play it real soft. Well, people don't like it when you play it so loud. I'm not playing for them. So that's what people get wrong. We hope you enjoy it, but it's really not for you. It's for Him. We've forgotten one thing about church. We built churches today. We designed churches today just to gather a bunch of people and to get them in here. Well, we're supposed to be witnesses. But the worship service, somebody say worship service, is all about Him. We save people, but for no purpose. We save them, but for no purpose whatsoever. Well, they'll learn it when they get to heaven. We're supposed to be witnesses out in the street and stuff like that. But this holy, sanctified service, somebody say, hallowed place. In His sanctuary. Somebody say, His sanctuary. Notice that the temple, somebody say, temple. That the temple that they built, amen. Heathen and different people weren't allowed to go in that place. There was an outer court, amen. The Jew was supposed to, by God's word, evangelize the whole world and bring them to God. But they could only bring certain people inside. Somebody say, inside the temple. Same thing today. There's something about being saved, something about being born again. We're losing it, people. We're losing it. We need to be evangelistic. I believe we need to have services. You know, they say we should have, they used to have believers meeting in some of the faithful gospel churches. They had believers meetings. Amen. Well, I think we need to have unbelievers meetings. Amen. Or we can, where we just focus on them totally and completely about getting them saved and do stuff. But there needs to be a time to where we put God first. Amen. You need to worship Jesus. Bible says, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world yet lose his own soul? Don't get so concerned about reaching people that you forget about reaching to Him. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I know He was talking about the cross when He said that, but we could also talk about worship and praise. He said, if I truly be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Anybody that gets excited about anything, it draws people to that thing which they're excited about. When you get to commercials, amen, they're not just sitting up there talking about a product. Boy, they're tearing that thing up. If it's a McDonald's restaurant that they're having a commercial about, they're eating that burger, boy. And they say, this thing is good. You know what I'm saying? If they're selling a Cadillac, they're not going to be driving a Pinto. They're going to be doing it themselves. I tell you what, when you find one person on fire for God, running for God, worshiping God, and loving God, it will attract other people to do that same thing. One other statement that I really like about this, that we're pulling, somebody say, dance. Now, this is really crazy because it says, praise Him in His sanctuary, right? Now, we could even take that to be the sanctuary of our heart, right? But also the holy, hallowed place, sanctified place, right? So somebody say, it's all right to dance. Actually, it's not all right to dance. You're supposed to. The question shouldn't be, why are these people dancing in church? The question should be, why aren't you dancing in church? Because nowhere in the Bible it says not to dance. But you are commanded. Didn't say, I'd like people to praise him this way. That's a command statement. When it says, thou shalt not kill, you don't think about killing, do you? But when he tells you to do something, you just do it because the word says to do it. Amen. Those that teach us praise and teach us worship, they say, try dancing. Did he tell the children of Israel when he was giving out this command written in this psalm? Try it. Maybe you'll like it. No, he just said, praise him that way. Say, everybody.
Everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Praise.
Say it one more time. Everybody.
Everybody.
Praise the Lord. And it tells us how to do it corporately. It says, let everything. Somebody say, everything. That matters. That means no matter where you are, praise the Lord. Then we're commanded again, praise ye the Lord. Somebody say, praise God. And now you're really going to rejoice because it's 8:30 and I'm done. Somebody say, hallelujah. Get yourself to a hallowed place this week. Get yourself to a set apart place inside your own heart. Practice worship and practice praise. And watch what happens to you. I mean, you'll tap into the power of God. Well, God is everywhere. Yeah, he is everywhere. Yeah, he is everywhere. But he'll really start to manifest if you give him opportunity to do it. Why don't you stand up right where you are? Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just say this together. Father,
Father,
we love you.
We love you.
Give us
a heart
that follows
hard
after you.
Thank you,
Father. We give you praise, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Just start to thank him just for these next several moments. Just start to thank God. Thank you, Father. We appreciate you. You're a good God. You're the God that's more than enough, Father God. You can handle every and any situation. Soften our hearts and make us human as you designed us to be. Innocent worshipers of you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Give you praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, we pray over this week right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray that no matter what circumstances or situation come, let it not chase us from that secret, private place of praise, devotion. Lord, that sanctuary on the inside of our heart, Father God. Let us never leave, Father God. Teach us how to live out that scripture, Lord. Speaking and singing to ourselves in songs, hymns, and spiritual songs, God. Making melody in our hearts as unto the Lord. Teach us how to praise you in the firmament of your power, O God. Let us be holy, set apart, and sanctified and anointed, Father God. Lord, that when we raise our hands, that when we lift our voices, we do any of these things, Father God, that it is acceptable in your sight, Father God. Just receive us, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.